37, 1 through 14. Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 through 14. And it's the vision that Ezekiel has of the Valley of Dry Bones. That it's a dear story to us, a vision, but it's also a powerful story with regard to restoration. It's a powerful story. It's a powerful teaching with regard to restoration on how, you know, God restores His people, His store. So I want to talk about spiritual renewal, part one today, part two next Sunday. Spiritual renewal is our theme today. Ezekiel chapter 37, Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. You may stay seated as we read His word. We read in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, and we know that the Lord is speaking to the prophet here. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? God is speaking to the prophet here, and He's asking the prophet, son of man, can these bones live? The prophet answers, sovereign Lord, you know, you alone know. Verse 4, then He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. That you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons, flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Verse 11, then He said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the vision that you gave the prophet many years ago, Lord. It's a reminder to us, O Lord, that no matter how far we may fall, you, Lord God, are always near to us. And your desire for us is for spiritual renewal, O Lord, to bring life to what may be dead within us, to restore what is lost, Father. So I pray this morning that you would open our hearts and minds to hear your word, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. The need for spiritual renewal. So Ezekiel here, he is a prophet during the time when Jerusalem had been under captivity of the Babylonian Empire. Maybe some know the story of the Old Testament when the people of God, Judah, Jerusalem, is now taken under captivity by the Babylonian Empire, and the Babylonian Empire enters into the city gates and destroys the city, and in three exiles all the people to different parts of the Babylonian Empire. It is a sad time in the Old Testament. It's a time where the people of God, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the sons of Jacob, the 12 sons of 12 tribes, are now lost. First, the 10 were lost under the previous empire, and now the last two tribes Judah and Benjamin, they are now under captivity of the Babylonian Empire, and they are taken into captivity. And we know because the prophet Jeremiah tells us that it would be for 70 years that they would be under captivity. And they are under captivity for 70 years. And this is a dark time in the Old Testament. In fact, if you read the chapter when they were taking over, it's solemn. It's solemn. It's sad. It's brokenness. When you see the people of God being taken captive by the Babylonian Empire, it was a sad time in the Old Testament to see God's people no longer under what it seems God's protection. It's not like the time of Joshua when the enemies came up against the people of God and the people of God, the sons of Abraham, prevailed. It's not like the time when Joshua walked around the city of Jericho and the cities came tumbling down, or when the armies gathered to come up against Joshua and the people and God sent thunder from heaven that shook their enemies so much that sent them scattered and Joshua's army was able to come behind them and have victory. No, it's not like those times. It's not like the time when King Hezekiah was under attack by the Syrian Empire and he called out and the prophet spoke a word and said, not one arrow will reach Jerusalem today. It's not like those times. That day, that night, the Lord sent an angel of death and killed the Assyrian army in their sleep. It's not a time like that. This is a different time in the Old Testament where we see the sons of Abraham now under captivity of the Babylonian Empire. And they came into the cities and they would destroy the cities. The Babylonian strategy was to destroy the city and exile the people in such a way that they could never regroup again. To do away with them. To put them into different lands and different places that they would begin to mix with the people of those lands and they would never be restored again. We see that this was a plot of the enemy, and it was a way where the Babylonian Empire would destroy lands. But God would care for his people. And he speaks to the prophet, and he tells him 70 years later, he would return. And if you read the book of Nehemiah and Ezra, you see how the exiles began to come back. The sons of the sons would come back. And they rebuild the wall, and they rebuild their temple. And throughout time, their city was reestablished. Perhaps never to the splendor of Solomon's temple. But God's word was fulfilled, and they were restored again. So this story, this historical teaching is depicted here in Ezekiel chapter 37. Their broken state, though, in exile. God takes the prophet in a vision to a valley of dry bones, and he's depicting his own people, the Israelites, the sons of Abraham. He's depicting them, and he depicts them, he shows them as dry bones, just broken and busted in a valley. Is depicted as lifeless, as people without no future, as people even without no God. It's a valley of dry bones. It's a hopeless state. In fact, I love verse 11. Because verse 11 in the verses that we read, the bones are speaking in this vision. And the bones say, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, and we have been cut off. If you read the book of Ezekiel, you'll see that in the beginning of the book, this was prophesied where the Spirit of God was lifted up over the temple and taken on and put onto the mountain. And here we see that it's a reality, a depiction for Ezekiel, and it's a teaching for us that the state of the people have gotten to a place where there was no hope. And I love that the bones say this. Our hope is gone, we are dry, and we are cut off. In other words, this is what we deserve. We got what we deserve. They recognize their state. They recognize through their words that they were living without the blessing of God upon their life. That's how they saw it. Though we knew that God's grace was still with them in that state, we know that because of hindsight. But in their moment, The depiction is that they feel that God's blessing is no longer with them. We've been cut off. There is a need for revival. What does the valley of dry bone represent? It represents spiritual death. It represents that they had fallen into religious routines, because even before this, they didn't stop celebrating their feast and making their sacrifices according to the book of Leviticus. They still continued to do what was expected of them, but it had become a routine and a ritual in their lives, and it wasn't enough for them to hear from the Lord. The dry bones represent spiritual death, fallen into religious routines. It was a removal of God's blessing. It was God's displeasure towards them, not God's displeasure with his people. It was God's word in action. When we look at the valley of dry bones, it was God's word in action, where God had told them this would happen. Sometimes we ourselves find ourselves also in a valley of dry bones, in a place of a spiritual renewal. When we ourselves know that we're not in our best place, that we could be doing better, that we should be doing better. You know, sometimes we ourselves struggle with valleys of dry bones, with spiritual famine. And we must be reminded that those seasons are not seasons to be ignored, but we must gather ourselves and look towards spiritual renewal. And if we want to experience spiritual renewal, we must recognize our state and recognize that we are in a valley of dry bones. But even there, God's grace reaches us. Many go through this. Many, you've been through it, I go through it. The apostle Timothy went through it. Paul tells him, fan into flame the gift of God that is in your life through the laying of my hands. Timothy was going through a spiritual battle. If you read the book, you'll see that Paul, on different occasions, had to tell him, look, man, don't be discouraged because you're so young. Flee from youthful desires. He was battling against false teachings. There was a fear for his own life. He was battling, and he needed some spiritual renewal. And Paul tells him, fan into flame the gift of God that's in your life. Even Elijah, in his time when he's running from the Lord, look what he says. It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Think about a man that needed spiritual renewal. He's running, he's like, I'm done, God, I'm no good. I can tell you of times in my own life where my own struggles, where I've heard just the Lord put in my heart, God, Lord, I'm missing time with you. Times in my own life where I said, Lord, man, I'm struggling, Lord. I need a renewal in my spirit. We all go through these times. We all go through them. But it's important not to ignore those states and say, Lord, renew us. Some may ask, well, how do I know when I'm battling? How do I know when I'm going through valleys like this, valleys of dry bones? I would say when there's no desire for Bible study and no desire for prayer, you might find yourself in a valley with dry bones. When spiritual conversations and things of God in public places embarrass us, that means we've lost our love, our passion, and we might find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. When we rationalize sin, oh, it's okay. He does it. She does it. I didn't feel bad when I did it. When we rationalize sin, there's a good chance that we might find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. When we can quote scripture and attend service, but it doesn't make a difference in our lives, we are in a dangerous place. When our lives revolve around money, the American dream, obtaining all that we can obtain in this earth, when our focus is on the American dream and not on God's kingdom, it could be that we are finding ourselves in a valley of dry bones. Not that the American dream should not be something that we pursue, but when we put God's kingdom as priority, we see that God fulfills all the longings of our hearts. When it no longer bothers us that we see others in misery, we're probably dealing or living in a valley of dry bones. When there's no sensitivity to those in need and those who are broken and those who are lost in their sin, and when there's no passion for conversion, and when we're not saddened or broken that someone needs salvation near to us, it probably means that we're abiding in a valley of dry bones. When worship services and the things of God don't excite you, that's concerning. And when you're not sure about where you will spend eternity, who knows, you might be abiding in a valley of dry bones. And there is a need for spiritual revival. And the church says, there's a need for spiritual renewal. So some would ask, well, how can I come out of this valley then? How can I come out of this valley? How can these dry bones live again? How can I not be cut off? So there's three things I want to share with you. Three things that we can find in this scripture. One today, two next week. But I'm going to mention all three of them to you today. First one is when we hear God's word. When we feel, the second one is when we feel God's spirit. And the third one is when we embrace God's mercy. The first one, I love it. It is found in verse 3 and 4. And he says, and he asked him, can these bones live? Ezekiel answered, is only you know. Then he said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. When we hear the word of the Lord, it renews our lives. It restores our lives when we hear the word of the Lord. Verse 9, he tells them, then he said to him, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live again. When we embrace God's spirit, it renews life within us. It renews us. Number 3, when we recognize God's grace. When he said, what is dead in us needs to be revived, that the Spirit of God will do it. Number 3, God's prophetic word on them to show them his grace and mercy brings promise of a renewed life. So it's God's word, it's God's spirit, and it's embracing God's mercy. Today, we'll just deal with one point, embracing God's word for a spiritual renewal. And the church says, amen. Hear God's word for a spiritual renewal. I love that Ezekiel prophesies to these bones and he says to them, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, exclamation mark. I love that it's a declaration to them. Hear the words. Hear the prophetic word over their life. God declares a word over these bones and he tells the prophet, tell them that they will live again. I will make breath enter into you and you will come to life. God speaks a word over them. We must embrace God's word for spiritual renewal. God's word is infallible. Infallible means that it will not fail us. It is timeless, exists in all times, and meets us in our highs and meets us in our lows. God's word is intentional. It is intentional to speak to the details of our lives. We must hear the prophetic word over our lives that speaks to us because it is detailed for us. God's word is complete. It's sufficient. It is enough to sustain us in all seasons of our lives. That's why I like the way the author of Hebrews writes it in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirits, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In other words, he's saying, it could reach every need of our lives, God's word. But Solomon said something great. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22, he says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing for all their flesh. God's word. See, God's word is infallible. It's timeless. It's sufficient. It's complete. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It reaches all areas of our lives. And in what? It brings life and restoration and renewal to us.
And I love that God speaks to the prophet and he says, tell them that they will live again. It's a prophetic word over these dry bones. Tell them that they will live again. How many know that God wants to speak a prophetic word over our lives? He wants to tell them that they will live again. Tell them that I am there with them. It's God's word. It is the best that we have in this world. It is the thus says the Lord for us. You know, I grew up, we are a Spanish Pentecostal church. And, and over the years now we've become a bilingual Pentecostal church, right? But our foundation or our history is a Spanish Pentecostal church. And I remember as a kid, a lot of times, you know, we just were hoping somebody would say, hey, Carlo, thus says the Lord. And those things are wonderful things. It's a wonderful way where the gift of the Spirit move and speak to our lives. And it encourages us. And sometimes we go looking for that thus says the Lord. But the scripture is a thus says the Lord for us. Every single day. It is a prophetic word. It's alive. I love that Hebrew. The author of Hebrews says it's alive and is sharper than any double-edged sword, and it reaches all levels of our lives. And it is the thus says the Lord. It is the prophetic word over our lives, and we must give it attention. We must tune our ears to what it says and open our hearts to sense and be ready to be obedient and embrace it, for it is from that place where we can live again, where we can have restoration and renewal and revival when we pay attention to what he wants to speak into our lives. And the church says, so I have seven prophetic words, if I can use that term, with liberty this morning. But you can add more according to your own need and receive the word over your life, right? So this morning, perhaps you're struggling with your faith, right? You're struggling with your faith. Is God here? Does God hear me? Does God hear my prayers? Is my prayer passing this ceiling? Is this emotional? Is God attentive? Is God real? And there is a struggle of faith within you. What is the prophetic word for you this morning? Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I love verse 14. He says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I love that the prophet here, the Lord speaks through the prophet, telling people in captivity at that same time. And he says, if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. But verse 14 is very powerful, where it says, I will be found by you. What he's saying there, I will let you find me. He says, I will let you find me. You know, you ever call somebody and you know they're pressing decline? You're like, decline. I know that person is pressing decline. Sometimes I FaceTime my wife, and she's like, decline, decline. And then she'll text me and say, don't FaceTime me. Call me. I don't like FaceTime. Right? I tell her, you look beautiful to me all the time. Decline. God never presses decline. He says, I'm always going to make myself available for you. If you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, verse 14, I will be found by you. If you read more temporary versions, it says, I will let you find me. I will let you find me. Maybe you're battling in your faith. I want to tell you that just coming to Sunday service won't be enough. You have to hear the prophetic word over your life that says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, why? Because I will let you find me. I will let you come to know my voice. I will let you come to know my will for your life. I will let you hear what I have to say. It is a prophetic word for us where God says, I will let you find me if you seek me with all your heart. And the church says, prophetic words for us. Maybe you're struggling with your identity, with your purpose. Well, God, what are you calling me for? And there's this sense of blank, a sense of not knowing or understanding, right? I love that Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I love that he's reminding us, I have plans for your life. I want you to bear good fruit. I want you to represent me well in this kingdom, in this world that we live, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community. I have a plan for you. I want to use you for my glory and for my honor. Each and every one of us are in the plan of God. It's a prophetic word over our lives. We're not called to be long rangers, and we're not called to live on our own. No, God has purposed us in his kingdom for his glory and for his will. The question is, do you believe that prophetic word over your life? Some people feel that, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not connected enough. I'm not extrovert enough. I'm not introvert enough. And we isolate ourselves, maybe highlighting our own insecurities, and we think that we are not worthy of what God wants to do. But would you receive a prophetic word over your life that says, I have plans for you, and my plans are to prosper you, not to do you harm? Would you receive that word? Would you believe God for that? For you and for your family and for your children and for your grandchildren, that God has a prophetic word that says, I have something for you. And we should not let our own insecurities place us in a valley of dry bones, but that we would receive his word that brings life and spiritual renewal to us. And the church says, number three, perhaps you're struggling with your own confidence. You feel like you can't do it. The prophetic word for us is, I love this verse. It's a life verse for me. Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. I love that verse. It's a constant reminder to me that I'm not finished yet, that God has not finished with me yet, that he's still doing a work in my life. I'm not where I wish I was, but I'm sure not where I started years ago. He who began a good work in me, he is still working that out for his glory and for his honor. So maybe I'm struggling with confidence in who I am and what God has called me to do, but I'm reminded today through his word that maybe you're not where you want to be because I haven't finished the work in your life yet. And our own failures should not be an excuse for us not to serve the Lord. But we should remind ourselves when we do mess up, Lord, I blew it again. But the prophetic word is that he who began a good work in you, he's working it out for his glory unto the day of Christ Jesus. So we all have our struggles, and we all have our battles, and we all have things that we deal with, and we all have struggles of the flesh and insecurities that we have to lug around every single day. But the prophetic word over our lives is that God is still working out his glory in us. He who started a good work in us, he will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. Maybe you're battling with something in your life, some weakness, some insecurity. I want to remind you this morning, receive a prophetic word over your life, not to give in and not to give up, but to know that God is doing a new thing in you each and every day. That he is a moving God. He's not a stagnant God. And he is moving within us each and every day. And we should hold on to the reality that maybe I'm not who I wish I was, but I'm not. Maybe I'm not who I wish I should be, but I am not who I was. There's a work in us. Receive that prophetic word over your life. It is a thus says the Lord. And the church says, amen. Maybe you're struggling with hardships in your life and you feel like you can't go on. I love that the Apostle Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted more than what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Prophetic word for you that says, maybe right now you're in a storm and you feel like the storm is finishing you. The prophetic word is that this storm will not finish you. It is a prophetic word that this storm will not finish you. That this storm will not finish you. Know that God would not put you through a storm that you cannot handle. But through the storms, he will give you the strength that you need to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Through the storms, he will give you the strength that you need to always look up to him. Through the storms, he will give you the strength that you need to persevere. That his perfect will would be done in your life. That the greater good that he has for you will be the final outcome. Why? Because he will never let us be tempted more than what we can bear. It's a thus says the Lord. It's an absolute. God's word is infallible. It will not fail. It is timeless for all of us. It is complete and it's enough to sustain us. It is the thus says the Lord. So we trust it with all our hearts. And it's what revives us from valleys of dry bones. Perhaps you're dealing with your past and you feel like I've done so much wrong. The thus says the Lord for us this morning. The prophetic word is therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. What a promise for us. That the scriptures teach us that he wipes away our sins and he remembers them no more. That we are new creations in Christ. That Jesus took on our sin and he gave us his holiness. And when the Father looks at us, he doesn't see our past, but he sees his only Son, Jesus Christ. That Jesus now is the key that opens up the door and allows us to abide with the Father. Why? Because we are a new creation. Through our faith in Christ Jesus, we are now justified. We are not who we used to be. No, we are now children of God. The Bible says saints of God. You've been justified. A state of holiness. That when the Father looks at you, he only sees the perfection of his Son. Jesus redeemed us. He bought us out of slavery. He redeemed us. He bought us out of slavery. He bought us out of sin. Now we are slaves to him and no longer slaves to sin. We're not who we used to be. So maybe you're battling and you feel like, yeah, but I've just done so much wrong in my life. And that mentality keeps us in a valley of dry bones. I've done so much wrong. I've failed so many people. I failed my family. I failed my children. I failed myself. I failed God. And sometimes that mentality doesn't allow us to move on to the things that God has for us. And although we may have to deal with consequences of our past bad decisions, we hold on and we deal with those consequences in the new life in Christ. And that means that we find a place for forgiveness. And that means we find a place for restoration. And we make our wrongs right. And we deal with our consequences because we know that they are ours and we own up to them. But we don't do it in the old self. We do it in the new life in Christ. That is a prophetic word over our life that keeps us from a valley of dry bones. But if we begin to abide and live in the old state of who we used to be, we'll always find ourselves in need of spiritual renewal. And the church says, maybe you're struggling with your past. Thus says the Lord, you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Maybe you're dealing with fear in your life. Fear. Sometimes fear wants to take over us. Sometimes fear wants to control us. Control the way we live, the way we think, the way we act. I love that Paul tells Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Thus says the Lord. It's a prophetic word. Fear is a part of the sinful nature, so we all have to deal with it. We all have a sense of fear at times. Something will happen that will produce fear, but we don't act out in our fear. We don't make decisions in our fear. We may have to struggle with it. It's a place of temptation for us, but the spirit that God has given us comes with power, comes with love, and it comes with a sound mind. In other words, God is saying, in the midst of your fear, I'm going to give you all the strength that you need, the dunamis, the strength that you need, power that you need in the time of fear. To do what you physically can, I'm going to help you do it. Love, it has to do with our motive. Why are we in this situation? He helps us do these things through a spirit of love. And then sound mind, count the cost. Think about these things. Rationalize the fear and the time that you're dealing with and the situation that you're living. Rationalize it, because what comes from the Lord comes with power, with love, and a sound mind. It's a prophetic word over our lives. Fear does not need to dominate. Oh my God, what's going to happen with my children? What's going to happen with my children in this world that we live in? We get feared. Oh my God, what's going to happen with our finances? What's going to happen with our future? Well, the Lord will give us power to make some to physically do what we need to do. Love, what's our motive? Help me, Lord God, to do it with a good motive and sound mind. Let me manage my time. Let me manage my circumstances, my family, my finances, so that at the end of it all, the Lord can be glorified. Because what comes from Him helps me to have the power, the good thought, and the right motive to fulfill His will. Fear does not have to dominate our lives. And the church says, it's a prophetic word over our lives. It's a thus says the Lord for us, and it keeps us from a valley of dry bones. Last one this morning, maybe it's spiritual warfare that we're dealing with. Spiritual warfare. 1 John 4:4, John said, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. It's a prophetic word. He who's in us is greater, is stronger than he who's in the world. The Bible says that no weapon forged against you will prosper. It's a prophetic word. That the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It's a prophetic word over us. Though we live in this world where we deal with spiritual warfare, we know that we have overcome. And the church says, do you receive the thus says the Lord? So I gave you 7 today. But any circumstance in which you find yourself, find what the scripture wants to speak into your life. And receive it as a thus says the Lord. And it's what helps us revive our low times. When we find ourselves in a valley of dry bones, it helps us revive us, renew us. It helps us. It helps us. It's a thus says the Lord for us. Today, people listen to the most craziest things for direction. People listen to horoscopes or read horoscopes for that. I say, you won't listen to the word of God, but you open up this craziness. People want to get direction from their own sinful desires and what they think is best because perhaps they see a good outcome at the present time. But they're not looking for the consequence. They're not looking at consequences. People want to be led by what their itching ears want to hear, is what scripture says. People want to be led by negative people. People want the easiest thing to do, and they're led by they don't want to battle. They don't want to persevere. They don't want to work hard for it. They're led by the easiest things to do, but not the thus says the Lord. People are looking for culture and tradition to lead them. I love my heritage, my culture. I love the food that I eat and the language that I speak, but it will not give me direction with regard to God's kingdom in my life. It will not. We will not receive direction for God's will through culture and tradition. Some look at rules and regulations and rituals. If I wear these type of clothes, if I speak this type of way, and if I look this type of way, and if I say these type of prayers, and if I read my Bible a certain amount of times a day, and they look at rules and laws and rituals and regulations, and there they want to find a thus says the Lord. But when we don't stick to our rules and rituals and regulations, we'll find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. Why? Because that's not enough. For a spiritual renewal, it's to understand what God is doing in our lives. So thus says the Lord. When we look at the wrong things, we'll eventually find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. We must be led by God's word. I love that God tells the prophet, prophesy to them and tell them they will live again. I love it. It fills me with passion and joy to hear that God's saying, my voice, my word is enough to tell them that they will live again, that I will restore life to what is lost. Life to what is lost. We must be led by God's word. God has spoken to us through different ways in his scripture. We must embrace it, and if we don't, we'll find ourselves in a valley of dry bones. We're talking about the need for spiritual renewal. And in these two teachings, the need of spiritual renewal will come through hearing God's voice, God's word. The second one is embracing his spirit. And the third one is embracing his mercy. And we'll talk about 2 and 3 next Sunday. But perhaps today you're here as we bring closure to our teaching this morning. Perhaps you're here today and the Lord is speaking to you. And thus says the Lord, that we would put our faith in His Word. That we would hear Him speak into our lives. That we would not just let it go in through one ear and out the other. That we would not just be hearers of His Word, but we would be doers of His Word. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Could it be that perhaps at times we're dealing with spiritual stagnation because we don't have a thus says the Lord over our lives? So the Lord wants to let us know His Word is infallible. It will not fail us. It's infallible. It will not fail us. Everything that it intends to do, it will do. God's Word is timeless. It was good for the sons of Abraham back then, and it's good for us today. It's timeless. God's Word is complete. It will sustain us in all times. And I love that the author of Hebrews says, it's alive. It's better than any double-edged sword, and it reaches the innermost places of our lives. It is a thus says the Lord. Perhaps you feel like you're in a place, a valley of dry bones. And maybe you feel like the bones spoke. I've been cut off. I'm dry. God says, would you hear the thus says the Lord? Find what Scripture wants to speak to your life and believe God for it. For it is life for us. As Solomon said, it brings life to us. I'm going to invite you to stand as I close. I love the words of Jesus. I shared this with two awesome couples on Friday night. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That word abundantly means in its original language so it overflows. So Jesus has come that we would have life and have it to the fullest. And that comes when we embrace His Word and embrace the next that He has for us. Perhaps you're here today and you feel like you're in a valley of dry bones and the Lord is calling you for spiritual renewal. Would you hear the thus says the Lord over your life this morning? He's called you for revival, for renewal. And when you have spiritual life, renewed strength, it begins to touch every part of who we are and our lives and our families. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the teaching of Your Word. We pray, O Lord God, that we would be doers of Your Word and not just hearers. That faith comes from embracing Your Word, O Lord. It is a thus says the Lord for us this morning. Perhaps there's someone here that You're speaking to today, O Lord. Father, I pray that they would be, that a fire would be lit within them, Lord, to find You in Your Word and what You want to do in their lives, O Lord. Father, I pray this morning that we would not find ourselves in valleys of dry bones and stagnation and this sense that You're not with us and this sense that we've been cut off, that we would not find ourselves there, Lord, but that we would embrace spiritual renewal, Lord. Today, Lord, we heard that it is embracing Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. If you're here today and the Lord is speaking to you in a special way, and you would like prayer as we sing this next song, the altar is open. We invite you to come. We want to pray with you, our pastors and leaders. Perhaps you're far from God. And you feel like, oh man, I feel like I'm far from God. I'm being cut off. And you would like prayer that says, you know, I want a spark to be lit in me that will never burn out. Also, we want to invite you to come forward to prayer. Maybe you're here today and you haven't given your life to Jesus. You're coming to know Him, but you haven't said, Jesus, would you be the Lord and Savior of my life? That would be the most important prayer that you ever made. If you haven't made that prayer, I'm going to invite you to come forward and I want to pray with you. That prayer of faith that says, Jesus, would you be my Lord and Savior? And the prophetic word over your life at this very moment is that he will become your Lord and your Savior, and that he would exchange your sin for his righteousness, and he will write your name in the book of life, and there will be a place for you in heaven. Salvation for you, peace for your life, joy in the midst of all circumstances that comes through a life in Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, that's what I need. As we sing this next song, the altar is open. I want to invite you also to come to the altar if you would like prayer. God bless you. God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.